Hello and welcome to This is Oro Valley. It's a podcast where we interview staff and sometimes, like today, community members about what is going on in the town of Oro Valley, the impact we have in the community with our programs and our departments. This month, we're featuring an episode about OB Safe Steps.
OB Safe Steps is our business assistance program, and we designed this to help our local businesses that have been negatively impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic.
And today, as my guests, I have two people that I think you're really going to enjoy hearing from. First, I've got the assistant town manager, my colleague, Chris Cornelison. Chris, welcome aboard.
Hey, thank you for the invitation.
And Dave Perry, who's the president and CEO of the Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce. Dave, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Mary.
Great. So Chris has actually been with the town of Oro Valley since 2010. He started as an intern, if you can believe it. He's also incredibly skilled, has been the assistant town manager with Oro Valley for the past almost 4 years, and he's my right hand. And I couldn't do my job without Chris. So Chris, really glad. I'm excited that our community is going to learn a little bit more about what you do and your role in helping to develop and oversee the OB Safe Steps program. And Dave, you've been with the Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce since 2011. Wow, that's almost 10 years. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun and really rewarding work for me.
Great. Well, our businesses are certainly well served by what it is that you do in the community. And of course, your great partnership as the chamber with the town of Oro Valley. We do have a service agreement with you because you help with our business recruitment and retention efforts, and we've tapped into that help to roll out this OV Safe Steps program. So, you know, really, I think it would be important to let our community know. Let's lay a little groundwork here. We are in the middle of a pandemic, and this pandemic has had some incredible impacts on our local businesses. Dave, what are you seeing in the community in terms of how COVID has impacted our businesses?
Everyone's felt an impact. The strange part of it, Mary, is that some businesses have flourished during the pandemic. Big box retail, home improvement stores, those kinds of places have done real well. Banks, financials, real estate. We're in the midst of a real estate boom here residentially, but so many small businesses have been devastated. And I like to point to the industries like hospitality, sure, restaurants, small gyms, salons, and spas, many of which were required to close during the springtime as the governor issued his mandates regarding business availability. And those events were devastating to those businesses, and they're still trying to recover from that.
And we're not just handing money away. There's some criteria. There's some targeted areas. I know that, you know, we do have some constraints because we have something called the gift clause in the state constitution that, you know, it constrains our ability to just hand money over. There has to be a public benefit to it. And we worked hard, and Dave, you were on the team that helped put this program together to figure out, well, what would make a difference, what meets the test in terms of making sure that we're not in violation of the state gift clause, and what is it that our businesses need? And so from your perspective, the three categories that we developed for those contributions, or rather reimbursements, how did we come to those conclusions?
First of all, I think if you look at the required expenditures that a business had to undertake because of this pandemic, things like face shields and sanitizer, deep cleaning, we see the plastic protective shields between worker and customer, those things cost a lot of money. So that was an immediate expense that was warranted, we thought, for reimbursement. That all happened through no fault of the business. This has all been thrust upon us. So those were relatively easy expenses to immediately justify. And then secondly, getting the word out about what you're doing, that you're still here, that you're practicing safe precautionary measures to protect employees and customers alike. That was essential stuff that needed to occur. And then, of course, that third category of professional services, a little broader, a little less defined, but we talk about marketing consultation. Maybe you need to talk to HR people about how you handle your employees. Maybe you need money. Maybe you need to go to a financial advisor. It could be technologically related. You know, how do you go to a touchless point of sale system, for example? And again, all of those expenses were thrust upon these business people who were seeing declined revenue because of lower occupancy rates and, frankly, less business. So easily, I think, these are warranted reimbursements from government to business during this unprecedented time.
Right. And I would just add that, you know, the pandemic really forced these businesses to have to change the way that they do business. And there is, of course, an associated cost with that, as Dave was mentioning.
And they're doing it with less money. They have fewer dollars coming in to run their businesses, and yet they're needing to make these essential investments.
And right now, we allow up to $1,500 reimbursements in each of those three categories. So a total of $4,500. Dave, from your perspective, how meaningful is $4,500 to a small business right now?
It means a lot. And it's in two ways it means a lot, Mary. First of all, those are real costs, again, at a time of reduced revenue. And that helps keep the doors open and keep people paid and pay the light bill and all those kinds of essential needs. But the second piece of it, I think, is the gesture. It is the expression of care that comes from government to business that says, we understand that you're struggling and you're important to us, and we're going to do this thing to help you. Some of it may be symbolic, honestly, but symbols have meaning and value. And I know Chris and I have both heard and seen so many accolades and expressions of gratitude from business people.
Chris, how much money have we distributed so far to our local businesses?
So we're just over $250,000, and so we are going to keep pushing for that. And we talk about the three categories, and we're actually looking to implement a fourth category for some hardship grants for some of those more focused areas that Dave mentioned earlier in this podcast, and providing them some additional assistance. And so that number will continue to go up in utilization.
Well, that's great. And I know one of the methods of your communication has been some personal touch. Tell us a little bit about those reach out and touch, actually showing up at people's doorsteps to find out how are things going and are you aware of OB Safe Steps? How did they go?
They've been great experiences, I think, Mary. And I do that as part of my job. You know, I run the chamber here in our community and I talk to business people every day. And with the pandemic and with the implementation of OV Safe Steps, we have ramped up our out on the streets, if you will, going door to door, sometimes with appointments, most of the time without appointments, and trying to say, how are things going? What can we do to help you? And then, are you aware of this program? And you know, you've got to continually communicate that OV Safe Steps exists and that it's of value to you. And it's almost no strings attached. We want you to promise to do the right thing, but you submit receipts and you get reimbursement for those expenses. And so many people are unaware of it. And we continually have to go out. I went out this week. I'm going out three times next week, one time with Chris, also with Mayor Winfield, and then with Councilwoman Joyce Jones-Ivey, to go be in front of business people and both inform them and express our concern.
Yeah, and I think it's just a continuous effort. You know, I had to get my vehicle worked on a couple weekends ago. I was in the auto shop, Oro Valley Auto, Uru, and I took some time while waiting to speak to the staff there and talk about the program. And I keep doing that. I know Dave has mentioned a few times, you know, it's just a reoccurring thing. It's not just a Monday through Friday effort. And we do try to utilize a shotgun approach. We have a great email listserv that we've really created. We've utilized some of the information from our business licenses. And, you know, really kudos to Margie Adler, our economic development specialist, who's really been somewhat of the face of this program. She's been the one directly working with a lot of the businesses in addition to Dave and his staff. And from the town's aspect, though, she's been wonderful and really encouraging them and explaining the ins and outs of this program. We spent a lot of time on the front end creating the web form for businesses to apply to see if they would qualify for this program. And it's been really easy. And I know Dave and I have talked about this when we went across the street on one of the walks. We met with Dr. Walker and his staff, and they actually signed up for the program right there in front of us. And that was the intent. And it took a lot of time, a great effort internally up front. And so we're pretty proud about that. But, you know, what we've realized in talking to these businesses is they're busy. They've reduced their staff. You got owners, you know, working the front desk. They don't have as much time to really seek out other financial opportunities that maybe they had, you know, pre-pandemic. So it's going to be a continual effort. It's a lot of time to hit the phones. We're utilizing our management fellow intern from the U of A, and she's making calls to these businesses, trying to explain and encourage them and get them the information they need as well. So, and I know Dave's conducted some roundtables with these businesses and did a great job and bringing some of those hard hit sectors together. And Mayor Winfield has participated in those discussions, and I know those businesses appreciated that as well. And it's really, it's difficult to get a hold of everyone and get them to then go and participate because it does take time. And time is just something that they are very short on.
And if I may say a couple of things about that, Mary, one of the really great things I think that's coming out of OV Safe Steps and the pandemic is that community, and I'm saying chamber and government, we're assembling a better database. We know who the business people are, and it is a dynamic environment. Managers are changing all the time, and we have to know who those people are always. You mentioned the anecdote with Dr. Walker. Here's what happened to me the other day. I was running around, and I needed some lunch, and I went into Sprouts to order a make-to-go sandwich, and a young woman was standing next to me in sort of medical scrubs. And I started talking to her, and she works at a veterinary hospital in Oro Valley. And I asked her how business was. Oh, we're just booming. She was there buying lunch for the whole staff at 1:30 in the afternoon. And I said, do you all know about OV Safe Steps? And she's a frontline person, probably works in the medical side of a veterinary practice. She didn't know about it. Gave her my card, said, when you get a chance, send me an email, and let's see if we can try to get you all some help. So it's almost like a lifestyle thing, especially for me, where I'm always wanting to say, how's business? How can we help? And do you know about this program?
Oh, no, I've done the same thing myself with the I was getting a pedicure, and I go to the same salon, and I talked to the owner of that salon and said, hey, are you familiar? Have you heard from Margie? Oh, I saw the emails, but I didn't open them. And so when I told him about the opportunity to apply for up to $4,500, it really piqued his interest. But more importantly, then I circled back with Margie and said, hey, reach out to him. And she did, and he signed up. And I did the same thing with my chiropractor. You know, those are those things that they're like, really? You know, and we've actually had some of our businesses, and I appreciate their response, who said, listen, we're doing okay. We're not going to apply for those resources because we'd rather leave them for others. And I honor that. I do. I really do. They recognize that they have some of their colleagues who are doing worse than others, and they want to support the availability of those resources for them. Chris, how many businesses have participated so far versus the total number of businesses that we have a record of here in Oro Valley?
Sure. So we have about 140 that have actually submitted and requested assistance and are actively participating. and are eligible. And so there's some nuances there, but we actually feature 587 businesses on our ovsafesteps.com website. And that's another platform that we created specifically for this program. And we can go into that a little bit later, if interested. But so it's really, it's been a good one. We would anticipate there's about 500 businesses that would be eligible and meet all the criteria that we have set forth to receive assistance financially. But we also have another, you know, dozens of businesses that aren't eligible that are also taking the OV promise. And so they will, by taking that promise, they are committing to performing certain safety measures. And as a result of that, we provide them some materials, such as some window posters, and then also some floor decals. And that's been helpful, and that's been really well received. And I know Dave's got some examples of that. They very professionally done, and we give that to them for free just by participating and making that promise.
And part of what happened, Mary, early on, as we all started talking about the program, I, as the chamber guy, said, we've got to recognize that the market for Oro Valley is bigger than the boundaries of the community. We've got Catalina, Saddlebrook, Saddlebrook Ranch, Oracle. You go to the west, we've got the Dove Mountain community. They come into Oro Valley, and we want those customers to feel the assurance that all of our businesses are doing the right thing on both their employees' behalf as well as their guests' behalf. And that is a continuing message that we want to get out there. I want to see those window clings and posters and footprints in as many businesses as we can possibly get them into.
Well, and what we found out in a survey that we conducted last month through our flash vote process, which is a statistically valid measure, we found out that the vast majority of our residents care very much about the safety measures that are in place at our local businesses. And so you're right. I think one of the main goals that outside of assisting the businesses, but is assisting the businesses, is communicating that to our residents so that they feel comfortable. We want them to know about the businesses in our community who are committed to those safety measures, and we can help get the word out about that to in as many ways as we can. And Dave, you mentioned some of those added benefits to OV Safe Steps, and like having a really great email distribution list and that sort of thing. What has been kind of a surprising thing that you've seen as a result of the implementation of this program that was kind of a, you know, an added benefit, so to speak?
That's a great question. I think I would say this. There are so many people out there in business who are struggling, and they just want to know that somebody cares about them. And the, you know, again, I mentioned it earlier, the expression of care and support has long-lasting benefits, I think. You know, the next time somebody come from the town of Oro Valley or from the chamber shows up in that business, that owner or that manager knows, hey, these guys are on my side. They're here to help me. And that means a lot. It truly does. And, you know, I was asked the other day if I saw some long-term residual benefits from OV Safe Steps, and I think that might be the biggest piece of it is relational, where we say, okay, these guys are not here to criticize or to you know, somehow penalize me for some practice. They're really here to try to make my business better. And I need that help, and I'm going to need that help. You know, we talk about, this is January, and we maybe expect a widely distributed vaccine by summer. Well, guess what happens in the summer in Oro Valley? Not as much as does in the winter. Right. And I've said to retailers and people who are dependent on a steady volume of business, you need to be prepared into the fall of 2021 before you see anything resembling quote unquote normal. We got a long way to go here. And that's another reason that I want to see that the visuals as many places as we can. I've said to Chris and the others on the committee, when somebody drives from Saddlebrook to go to the dentist, I want them to feel safe in the dentist office and to go get lunch someplace and then maybe take care of a retail need and feel like they're comfortable and safe everywhere that they go. And we need that moving well beyond the pandemic, but we certainly need it in 2021.
And I think that there seems to be an indication. In fact, we asked some of that data of our residents about how are they going to feel if they about returning to businesses if they've been doing a lot online. And what we're hearing, and I'm not surprised about this, and it's something that we're going to have to continue to figure out how we support our businesses, is that folks are saying, you know, I might continue to do more online things than I was doing before because it's become convenient to me, or maybe they found new sites that they're using or something like that. What do you think, Chris, and what are you hearing?
No, that's exactly it. And from that July survey, when some of those businesses and restaurants started opening back up, as part of that survey, we found that 45% of respondents changed their behavior even after these businesses opened up. They were utilizing curbside pickup more. They were doing online shopping more. They didn't want to go into restaurants and sit down and dine in. And so they were doing takeout more. And so Dave hit on it at the beginning. People have changed their behavior. And so a lot of these businesses have had to adapt. And so we'll continue to have to adapt because this thing is far from over, especially when you know, Dave mentioned about some of the challenges with vaccines. And that's also hoping that people actually take them. And that's a part of our concern as well, is you have to have enough people taking them. And so I think, unfortunately, we're far from being over and out of this pandemic. And so we have to continue to support our businesses.
My wife and I have done takeout every weekend. We pick an Oro Valley restaurant and we do takeout, and it's been wonderful. You get ample supplies of food. But here's the challenge for those restaurants is I'm not having a glass of wine. You know, we're not buying alcohol there. So, and that's a high margin service that a restaurant provides. So on the one hand, they're giving me a ton of food in my takeout order, but they're actually not getting those additional discretionary sales. The same with people who shop, who have their groceries delivered, for example. They're not making those spur of the moment kinds of purchases in the grocery store. I would buy cookies, by the way, but but you know, my wife does all the shopping. But when you order from a grocery store, you get exactly what you ordered and nothing more than that. So these are long term changes, I think, and businesses have had to adjust, and it's not easy.
Yeah, Dave, is the chamber doing any type of education efforts, for example, to help with some of our retail businesses, maybe our smaller businesses, figure out how do they convert to an online presence? How are they successful in that regard so that they can capture some of that data without necessarily becoming an Amazon marketplace provider, which of course is an option. And for some, it might be a very workable option depending on what it is that they sell. But you know, what do you see in terms of the kinds of assistance that both the chamber and maybe the town in the future can help in setting these businesses, particularly retailers, up for success in the future?
You know, that aspect of OV Safe Steps is a work in progress, in my view. What we've done initially is let's get the word out there. Let's get people to participate and let's get those initial reimbursements out there. And then we've tallied a list of people who have requested further assistance in marketing, digital resources, things of that nature. And we've connected them to resources within the chamber that can be of value. Here's an example. I know of a business in Oro Valley that has contracted with one of our members for video production, where he wants to produce videos that he will post online and try to elicit and solicit more business that way. But that's a one-to-one thing, and it takes a lot of work. And my staff we're segueing into getting back to those one-to-one visits, which take time, and say, here's some people you can talk to. Here's some ideas to think about. You know, in the chamber world, we're not problem solvers. We connect you to people who can solve your problems. And it's a time-consuming thing, but we've had some successes with it, truly. And I think more is to come, and business people are recognizing that when this is through, their business is not going to be the same. They have to adapt, and they know it. But how do they go about it? It's more challenging.
The Federal CARES Act that was approved last year had a whole bunch of different resources in and of itself. There was a payroll protection program and that sort of thing. Getting money from the federal government is extremely difficult. And I know that, Dave, you heard plenty of people who were frustrated with the process, didn't get into the process, didn't get any money. And frankly, also, there's a mistrust of government at the state and the federal level. One of the things I think that OV Safe Steps offers is, because we are so personal about it, and I think we have a pretty quick turnaround. Maybe, Chris, you could talk about how quick has that turnaround been? We've been, we've been giving funds out since September, I believe. How quickly have these turned around?
That's a great question. Our goal, and I mentioned it earlier, was to not be like government, was to be more like business. And to the town's credit, I've even heard from neighbors about, you know, how they give us accolades on some things, how we do act more like a business, and we're quicker on responses and services. And we spent a lot of time up front, and we utilized Chuck Boyer, who's one of our Lean Six Sigma folks here, and to really ensure up front that we can make this as simple and seamless as possible, not just from the application, but also from the finance and accounting side. And so as a result, when they submit it, we usually review and we'll give them, let them know that, yes, they meet all the criteria to receive financial reimbursement within days, business days usually. Then it goes to our finance, and they cut a check anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks. This business receives that money.
That kind of turnaround is a big deal for a small business who maybe is struggling with making rent this month or, you know, whatever it is. I'm really proud of our team. I'm really proud of the partnership that we have with the Chamber, Dave, and how you have stepped up to assist us with this program. This has been, I think, a godsend to many of our local businesses. You know, to some larger businesses, $4,500 doesn't sound like a lot. But to that small business who has had to add those additional costs and is concerned about where their next paycheck is going to come from or whether or not they're going to have to lay off another employee, this is huge. And so, you know, I just want to thank you both for the work that you have done, the many, many hours. I know that there have been weekly meetings of the steering committee on this program, that there have been changes. You know, we've pivoted as well as you've seen how the businesses have come in and requested and what the requests are. And we want to use the $1 million that we've set aside. We've increased what the eligibility is, and our businesses have really appreciated it. So on behalf of our businesses, I just want to thank you. For the businesses who might be listening to this podcast and are interested in this program and maybe taking advantage of the resources that the town is offering, I encourage you to go to ovsafesteps.com and check it out. There's an application process there, more information. You'll see how we help advertise our businesses. And please take advantage. Let us help you. We value you in our community. We value what you do for our residents and how you make our community, the town of Oro Valley, a better place. So thank you for being in Oro Valley. Once again, Dave Perry, the president and CEO of the Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce, Chris Cornelison, assistant town manager for the town of Oro Valley, thank you so much for being on this month's podcast, and we really appreciate all that you do for the community.
Thanks for having me, Mary. Sure appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. And also, thank you for your leadership on this program. Wouldn't have happened without you, without the mayor and council, and certainly without our strong partnership with Dave Perry and the Chamber.
Well, I appreciate that. I hope you'll tune in next month when I'll have Peter Abraham, the Water Utility Director, on for our next conversation, and we'll be talking about all things water, Let me tell you, there is a lot to learn about water. So I hope you'll be able to join us.